Today's gospel account takes place on Mount Tabor, and this is one of a number of occasions where Christ goes up on a mountain to pray. I was up on Mount Tabor one time when I was a seminarian. We took a trip over to the Holy Land, and it was just like the apostles. It was a little terrifying. There was a one-lane road that went, and they sent taxis up going both directions, up and down, around blind corners. And I don't think the taxi drivers knew where the brake pedal was, just the gas. But, it was a little terrifying. You almost take your life in your hands going up there. But, the thing about this setting on a mountain, one, mountains are very difficult to get up. It's difficult to climb. But Christ seems to have been drawn to going up mountains in his life of prayer. There's a sense when you're at the top of a mountain of the, you see the view, you can see the countryside for miles around. There's a sense of the majesty of God, and there's a sense of, with the elevation that we're closer to God and taken away from the distractions of the world. And it's there that Jesus chose to go to pray on this occasion. And he had probably been praying there for a long time because his apostles had all fallen asleep by the time that the transfiguration begins. I want to focus on a couple of details. The first is the cloud. It says in Luke's gospel that a cloud came and it overshadowed them. And this isn't just an ordinary cloud, like there happened to be a cloud in the sky at the time. There's a different reason why the cloud plays a role in today's gospel, because it says that not only did the cloud appear, but that they entered into the cloud and they were terrified. So what's happening with the cloud? Well, the language that Luke uses should remind us of an event back in the Old Testament. And that was when Moses was called to go up on Mount Sinai. And a pillar of fire descended upon the mountain, and the entire mountain, Mount Sinai, was surrounded by smoke and by a cloud. The Jewish rabbis call this the glory cloud, the Shekinah in Hebrew, which was the glory and the majesty of God that was descending upon the mountain. And as Moses went into this cloud, he spent 40 days within the glory cloud. And it was there that he spoke to God, and where God gave him the Ten Commandments, and where Moses received a glimpse of the heavenly sanctuary. He was able to see some of the attributes of the heavenly sanctuary while still here on earth within the glory cloud. There's another occasion earlier in Luke's gospel that we hear about somebody being overshadowed. And that was at the Annunciation, when the archangel Gabriel appeared to the Blessed Virgin Mary and said, "The power of the Holy Spirit will overshadow you." Again, that's the glory cloud, that the Holy Spirit would descend and overshadow Mary, and she would conceive Jesus Christ within her womb. In the Transfiguration, in part, it was a revelation of the glory of Jesus Christ and his divinity as he was transfigured. But it's also a revelation of the future glory that each one of us are called to in the final resurrection. Just as Moses and Elijah appeared radiant, we're called to share in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we receive, primarily through the sacraments, that we are transformed so that one day we can enter into the glory that's revealed here on Mount Tabor. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 556, it talks first about Christ's baptism and how Christ's baptism reveals our first regeneration. That our souls are brought from spiritual death to spiritual life. We're brought from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And that's our first regeneration or rebirth in baptism. But it goes on to say that there's a second regeneration, which the transfiguration prefigures. And that's our own future resurrection. That we one day hope to share in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when we will be transfigured in glory through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we will be able to enter into the glory cloud and behold the heavenly sanctuary. As we look into the glory cloud, one of the aspects of what goes on here is that Moses and Elijah and Peter, James, and John were able to see God face to face, to see Jesus Christ revealed in glory. Moses in the Old Testament was not able to look on the face of God, because anyone who would look on the face of God would die. So he longed to look on the face of God, but even on Mount Sinai, he wasn't able to see the face of God. Elijah, when he went to Mount Sinai, He had to veil his face. He wrapped his face in a cloak so that he wouldn't see the presence of God. And so Elijah too was longing to see the face of God. But yet it's here on Mount Tabor, through the incarnation, as Jesus Christ is transfigured, that Moses and Elijah are able to see the face of God. So I want to reflect on that for a moment. You know, what would it be like to see the face of God? You know, what would it be like to one day enter into the glory of heaven and to be able to see God face to face? And in part, you know, there's a physical element to that. You know, like Christ would be radiant with light. You know, when the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to the Fatima children or to St. Bernadette, you know, they said that she was beautiful beyond anything of this world, and they were attracted to the beauty and the radiant light. But with the saints, the blessed in heaven, you know, they see more than just the physical beauty. You know, the ability to see the face of God, there's also a spiritual and an intellectual element to that. You know, imagine that, you know, every time that we've sinned and repented of that sin, you know, if we've gone to confession and we've heard the words of absolution, imagine for the first time to be able to see face to face Jesus Christ, the one who has shown us his mercy and the one who died on the cross and took those sins away from us. For all the times that we've repented of sins in our life, to first see Jesus Christ face to face, the one who took those sins away. Or imagine every moment of our lives, every time that we've been thankful for something, every time we've been thankful for a new day or the gift of our life or some blessing that we've received. Imagine seeing for the first time face to face, eye to eye, the one who has given us each and every one of those blessings. And if we think of every family member that we love and care about, or every person in our life that we love, imagine seeing face to face the one who brought each and every one of them into existence and enabled us to be able to share our lives with that person. Imagine every time we've heard a beautiful piece of music, the one who is the source of all that beauty, you know, whom the angel choirs in the glory of heaven sing in hymns of unearthly beauty. Imagine the one who is the source and origin of all those things. Jesus Christ is the source of all things, and all things lead to him. And the ability to see God face to face, the vision of God's glory in heaven, would be something that's so powerful and so profound that when we see him, we would recognize that he is the source and the completion of all things, and that nothing else beyond him seems to really matter that much, that he is the infinite source of all goodness, of all life, of all truth, and of all beauty. And so the ability to see the face of God, you know, there was a foretaste of that on Mount Tabor with the Transfiguration, when the apostles were able to see the unveiled face of Jesus Christ in glory. But that's ultimately our hope as Christians, that we will one day be transfigured with Jesus Christ and be able to see him in the beatific vision. I think it's important for us, as we struggle through the difficulties of this life, you know, often the struggles and the sufferings of this life can weigh upon us and we can get discouraged. You know, but just as Christ climbed up this mountain to get to the top, life is there will be struggles and there will be difficulties. And it's not easy. But I think it's important for us, you know, as we reflect upon the transfiguration at Mount Tabor, to receive some encouragement and some hope of what awaits us, and that it is worth every struggle. And as we go through our Lenten penances and almsgiving and additional prayers that we undertake, that this is the part of the journey and the purification that's necessary to ascend Mount Tabor. You know, the penances that separate us from the things of this world, the almsgiving, you know, acts of charity and generosity and prayer is meant to help lead us up the mountain. Every time we go to the sacrament of confession, to repent of sin and to allow Christ to free us from that sin that takes away the burdens that weigh us down or ensnare us and prevent us from going up the mountain. And so, you know, I encourage you, as we're still in the beginning stages of Lent, to take these commitments seriously, the opportunities to go to confession, the opportunities for greater penance and almsgiving and prayer, so that we can ascend up Mount Tabor in the hope that one day we will see the glory of Jesus Christ face to face.